William Collins and Argo present The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, written by Mark Twain, read by Bing Crosby.
Tom? No answer. Tom? No answer. What's gone with that boy, I wonder? You, Tom? The old lady pulled her spectacles down and looked over them. Then she put them up and looked under them. She seldom or never looked through them, for they were, well, they're really her state pair. And they were built for style, not service. She could have seen through a pair of stove lids just as well. She looked perplexed a moment and said, "Well, I lay if I get hold of you, I'll..." By this time she was bending down and punching under the bed with the broom, but she resurrected nothing but the cat. I never did see the beat of that boy. She went to the open door and looked out. No Tom. So she lifted up her voice and shouted, "You, Tom!" There was a slight noise behind her, and she turned just in time to seize a small boy by his jacket. There, I might have thought of that cupboard. What have you been doing in there? Nothing. Nothing. Look at your hands and look at your mouth. What is that truck? I don't know, Aunt. Well, I know. It's jam. That's what it is. 40 times I said if you didn't let that jam alone, I'd skin you. Hand me that switch. The switch hovered in the air. The peril was desperate. My, look behind you, Aunt. The old lady whirled around, and the lad fled on the instant, scrambled up the high board fence, and disappeared. His Aunt Polly stood surprised a moment, and then she broke into a gentle laugh. Oh, hang the boy, can't I never learn anything? Ain't he played me tricks enough like that for me to be looking out for him by this time? But old fools is the biggest fools there is, I guess. He'll play hooky this afternoon. I'll just be obliged to make him work tomorrow to punish him. Mighty hard to make him work Saturdays when all the boys is having a holiday, but I gotta do something. Gotta do some of my duty by him, or I'll be the ruination of the child. Tom strode down the street, whistling with a peculiar bird-like turn, a sort of a liquid warble. Presently, Tom checked his whistle. A stranger was before him. A boy, oh, a shade larger than himself. And this boy was well-dressed, too. Well-dressed on a weekday? This was simply astounding. His close-buttoned blue cloth jacket was new and natty. He had shoes on, yet it was only Friday. He even wore a necktie. He had a citified air about him that just ate into Tom's vitals. The more Tom stared at the splendid marble, the higher he turned up his nose at this finery, and the shabbier and shabbier his own outfit seemed to grow. Neither boy spoke. They kept face to face and eye to eye all the time. Finally, Tom said, "I can lick you. I'd like to see you try it." "Well, I can do it." "No, you can't either." "Yes, I can." An uncomfortable pause followed. Then Tom said, "Oh, you think you're mighty smart, don't you? I could lick you with one hand tied behind me if I wanted to." "Well, why don't you do it? You say you can do it." "Well, I will if you fool with me." "Oh, take a walk." "Say, if you give me much more of your sass, I'll take and bounce a rock off on your head." "Well, why don't you do it then? What do you keep saying you will for?" Tom drew a line in the dust with his big toe. "I dare you to step over that, and I'll lick you till you can't stand up." The new boy stepped over promptly. "Well, you said you'd do it. Why don't you do it?" "By jingles, for 2 cents, I will do it." But the new boy took 2 broad coppers out of his pocket and held them out with derision. Tom struck them to the ground. In an instant, both boys were rolling and tumbling in the dirt, gripped together like cats. And for the space of a minute, they tugged and tore at each other's hair and clothes, punched and scratched each other's noses, and covered themselves with dust and glory. Presently, through the fog of battle, Tom appeared, seated astride the new boy, and pounding him with his fists. "Holland!
Sample complete. Ready to continue?